This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Trillville Thursday. Trillville Thursday forever. All right, Devin?
What'd Devin say?
Said 2024. We need to get rid of Trillville.
Tell Devin to go to hell. Hell with Devin, you. Devin, you go to hell.
Yeah.
How about that?
I'm going to be keeping it Trill in the old folks' home.
Okay.
When I'm 86 years
just
old.
Don't do. Just.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing more Trill than when I say stuff like that.
Yeah, as I said, just let it, I mean, old folks, you can Trill in them old folks' homes.
Yeah,
I mean,
of course they do.
Because one thing we know, and I've heard this from a good friend of mine who owns them, them damn STDs be up in there.
Yeah.
So they be getting real Trill up in them old folks' homes.
Yeah, koalas and old folks.
Yeah, dog.
More STDs per capita than any other population in the world.
Who?
Koalas. You know koala bears? Just nasty.
Koala got that. They be having that burn.
I think
that package.
I think it's the. I think they have chlamydia. Yeah, the clap.
No.
Yeah.
From
it's
koalas.
Like a, it's like an epidemic amongst koalas.
Never ever known that.
That's a nasty group of bears.
Oh man, they nasty.
Grossest bear by far.
Are you serious? Mm-hmm. I would have never known.
Yeah.
I never would have thought about that. So they just be just jumping.
With no protection, obviously.
No protection, though. Not jumping.
Yeah, no, it's
tree.
It's a major threat to koalas in Australia. It can infect between 20% and 90% of the population.
Who brought that over there? Somebody, some nasty person, some nasty koala in Arkansas.
Yeah, took spring break.
Yeah, took spring break to Australia.
Had too many fosters.
It took it all the way over there.
Spread it out.
Wow, yeah,
everybody's
koala
got it.
Did not
the koala
know
clap.
Koala clap.
That's what they call it.
Yeah. Damn, I'd never ever heard that before.
I have no idea why I know that, but it is true.
Why do you know that?
I don't know. Ugh. I'm not sure. You never know. Sometimes you just know stuff.
I know.
Like
I know.
Certain information when it crosses my brain is never going to go away.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm bad with names. If I meet somebody, I'm probably going to forget
you
their name.
You know I'm the worst.
10 seconds later. Like, you know, there's just, I'm not very good at listening if I'm also looking at my phone, so I try not to do that, but yeah. You can't help it sometimes. But if somebody tells me, or I read or hear, that a koala bear's got chlamydia, that's going to be
in
there forever.
Is it like chlamydia? Like, can they get a shot?
I don't know. You just got to go down to the koala clinic?
I'm sure. Can they get a shot, get it cleared up, and we just, you know, help out the whole
thing? They got to test these, you know, what are they? They got to test the shots out on somebody. Something.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's
go
true.
Give him a shot and go by the business.
I think that comedian John Oliver on HBO is like very invested in this and is trying to fix it.
Like he's trying to get.
So
like,
John Oliver's on it.
John Oliver trying to get some penicillin over there.
I guess. Like, no offense, I hope they do fix it, but I also hope they're not spending too much money on it. You
right.
know what I mean? We got bigger fish to fry.
dude, that's one of the things where you would have never in a million years would have thought
See,
that.
See, this is what happens when the Braves don't play. We got to find other stuff.
Find other stuff to do,
gotta
man.
Find other stuff to fill the time.
Yeah, koala clap.
It's a real thing. Smoke and Joe Patrick will join us in 15 minutes. Unrelated. Unrelated, just true. Just 15 minutes from now, Joe Patrick will join us. And then we'll get to an AMA at 1:40 as well. This hour brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com.
No, it's because I know what you were saying in the handoff. Obviously, it is close to NBA season. Hawks Media Day is coming up Monday. We'll have Trae Young. And they were just looking around the league. And there's – I don't know if it's confidence or if it's cocky, but them damn Celtics ain't fazed by nothing. Every time you hear it, they always with the Cougars. Now we don't really worry about what everybody's done.
You know,
we're just worried about what we got to do, and we're gonna go about our business.
Jaylen Brown just casually saying that their like deep bench is better than other NBA teams.
Like,
hey, they won the championship.
I mean, we saw Jason Tatum. I saw a video, the new shot. It kind of looks different.
Yeah, so apparently Jason Tatum's been spending a lot of time this summer trying to fix that little hitch in his jump shot. Okay.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool to have that and be one of the 10 best players in the world and an NBA champion and a gold medalist as well. So, if he fixes it, imagine sky's the limit. I don't know. The sky is already the limit because he's got a $300 million contract and an NBA championship.
I'm going to win the NBA Finals champ. NFL, NBA Finals MVP.
And just the regular season MVP.
Yeah,
he's
they feeling themselves.
Yeah.
Like they are. But when you win a championship, you can.
They should be.
Yeah. You can fix that. But that, boy, they feeling themselves in Boston. And I would too. If I was squatted up like them, because they are. And then. With Porzingis gonna come back to what, October? Mm-hmm. I mean, not October, like December sometime. So, yeah, they're still the team.
Yeah, they'll be fine.
They'll be fine.
I mean, not fine. They'll be very, very good. And all that trash they're talking is deserved. All right, let's get to the big story of the day to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Brought to you by QC Kinetics, non surgical treatment for joint pain.
Even if there's one doubter, it falls along with the Lank mentality. That's what we get to do is let any of the naysayers know what we're capable of. And that's a tribute to what people see in Georgia, how high level of a football team that they have. And to their credit, that's exactly what they are. For us, it's just a matter of doing what we can do and, making sure that we present the best version of what we can be on Saturday, again, through great preparation, great focus, making sure that, we're feeling great about what we have because we do.
I bet there's a lot of people that don't know who that is.
I do.
Unrecognizable, right?
I mean.
At this point. That's Kalen DeBoer. He's the head coach of the Alabama Crimson Tide with an opportunity to become much more recognizable with a win on Saturday night if they beat Georgia. But, yeah, I mean, a lot of times college football coaches, like Kirby's voice.
Yeah, elite.
When you hear it, elite. Saban's
Backs,
is so specific.
Wide out.
Dabo's got that very, Spurrier all those years. Even Lane Kiffin's got that very dry, everything he says is just dripping with sarcasm.
Is him and Hugh Freeze, they beefing?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was just making sure.
Apparently, Hugh Freeze said something the other day about the way that they have their collective set up. And it's good. And Lane was like, yeah, well, he'd probably try to steal our main guy. Like, he tried to steal all our players.
Wow.
Yeah. Hugh's angling hard at trying to get more money from those boosters.
I ain't mad at him, dog.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I'm not mad about that.
But he's a,
there's other stuff he's done. Maybe isn't great.
But no, I think Kalen DeBoer, I think he's a hell of a ball coach. And I do think that he's going to win the championship at Alabama. That's how highly I think of him and where that program is. But, this is going to be, you can't say it's the biggest game he's ever coached because he's coaching the damn national championship.
I know. Someone's going to say it, though.
Like, yeah, he's just coaching the damn
national. Someone's going to say it, and I'm not going to let him
He's coaching the national championship game. I mean,
but this is an SEC
game. Yeah, that's where we're going to go with. Okay. But this is a big time. This is his first test at Alabama.
It's his first SEC game.
Yeah. Oh, it is. Yeah. It sure is.
And welcome to the conference.
Yeah, your first game you got Georgia. Yeah, but it's funny because you asked me a question. I think we in a break, and it was, and I don't know how to answer. It's like because Georgia is favored by two. If Nick was there, would they be favored? And I said no.
I think Alabama would be favored by one.
I think Alabama would probably be favored by one.
I think Saban's a 3-point difference.
Yeah.
Based on absolutely nothing. I just think that's what it would be.
Yeah. But the atmosphere is going to be electric. We know game day is going to be there. It's going to be a love fest all over Nick, which it should.
But it will get a little gratuitous for Georgia fans.
Yeah, the love fest on Nick, which it should be and everything. And then the game will be kicked off and it'll be decided between the lines.
Is it already called Saban Field or are they doing they've already done that?
Yes.
Okay. Because maybe they would dedicate that. Yeah. Saturday night or something like that.
I mean, it's gonna be crazy down there, Tuscaloosa, man. And I mean, we know they don't lose a lot. They don't lose a lot there.
Nope.
They do not lose a lot in that building. I know they lost Texas last year, but yeah, this game, and of course tomorrow we give keys and everything to the game tomorrow. But this game is just two high level programs going at it, man. And this is a regular season game. Because, like you said earlier, most of the time when these two teams are playing, it's always for a trophy.
Yeah.
It's always for a trophy.
It has been. Five out of the last six times they've played, it's been either
And it's been one team that's had more wins.
Yeah. Is it? Alabama's gotten the better of Georgia. Obviously, Georgia lost the SEC championship game that year and then beat them in the national championship rematch that year for Kirby's first championship, backed it up by winning the next national championship as well. And then a whole bunch of games after that until facing Alabama in the SEC championship game last year. So they always play big games. And this isn't that, but it's still a really big game.
Yes, it is.
Obviously. Answer me this, because you played at Georgia, obviously. You've lived here for a long time and are more familiar with the rivalries and these things. Like, why isn't this more like that? Like, why isn't this more Georgia-Alabama? It seems like over the last 15 years or so.
I think we're still catching up.
More.
That's my opinion about Georgia.
But, why Auburn?
Huh?
Like Auburn's closer?
I don't, dude. Now you want to get that's over. I don't know.
Okay.
You know, I watched the whole thing. I told you the Saturdays Down South thing they made on SEC Network, the 10 episodes of how the SEC was formed.
Yeah.
I watched that three times. And I still don't know why Auburn is. I mean, is it because Vince Dooley left there, came here?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
But it kind of feels like it could be any of those schools.
But yeah, but it was one of the first games ever.
That makes sense, Dooley.
Yeah, it was one of the first games ever. I know I'm going to get the team wrong. Because they played over here in Piedmont Park. Georgia played over here in Piedmont Park because I heard Coach Dooley talk about that. Mm-hmm. They played over here. I don't know who they played, but we had a goat.
Sewanee.
We had a goat mascot.
I don't know.
It was a goat mascot, and somebody lost, so they couldn't the goat or something like that.
Okay.
But, I don't know why these –
Yeah,
I don't know why these rivalries are where they are.
Right.
Why Auburn?
But a lot of them are easy to explain. Georgia Tech.
Because is it because we've been in the East all this time with them?
That's probably why.
They're in the West.
But
Auburn's in the West
too. Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. I don't know why it's not. Because we always get beat down. You remember that rain? You remember that rainy day? When Georgia came in there with all that damn black and Travis Henry in that rain up there and Travis Henry in Alabama ran through their face. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to eventually, they had the most important win in 40 years. The only time he has beaten Alabama, which is great. I'll take that one over five.
The one is great.
Yeah, the one is great.
Well, the one in 17 would have been fine also because that also would have been a championship.
But we got this one.
Yeah.
And I'll take this one. Sure. But, yeah, I don't know why. And you can ask different people. They'll give you different reasons. I don't look at it as a rivalry. But I look at it as for Georgia is – the closest thing to trying to catch Bama right now. I still think Bama because of all the sustained success.
Totally. It lasted longer.
It lasted
longer. Georgia's done is incredible and might very well be turning into that. Or maybe it'll surpass it.
It could be.
But, yeah, what Bama did lasted longer. And it's, to me, feels like it's turning into that because of what the last decade or so have been. I mean, Kalen DeBoer hopes that it can become a rivalry. That means he keeps it there and these teams keep going back and forth. But, yeah, I mean – What a treat that's going to be on Saturday night.
Oh, it's going to be so much fun.
7:30. Like Randy said, we'll do more keys to the game, X's and O's type stuff tomorrow regarding that football game. Obviously, Falcons Saints as well. Just a huge football weekend. Smoke and Joe Patrick's going to join us next to talk about the Falcons. He's our Falcons insider, so don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age, wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few, but if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Week 4 starts tonight in the NFL right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The Cowboys at the Giants. Pre-games at 7:30, kickoffs at 8:15. And then, of course, the Falcons and the Saints.
Yeah, man.
Sunday afternoon.
So rivalry. It's not dead, baby.
It's not dead. It continues. Hey, look at that.
Look at this.
Look at that.
Look at this.
Mike Bell just brought me a whole bottle of Don Julio.
Let's drink it right. Let's drink it.
Let's crack it open. You ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Forget about talking to Joe. The last time I talked to Joe, I was drinking a whole bunch. Too.
Damn sure was.
He was at my house. On that was some,
did we? We didn't ask any Falcons questions, did we? Joe was off the clock.
Now, well, Joe had to he was there briefly because then he had to go. He had to go to work.
Oh yeah, he was the only one. He was some of the only people that were there, even though they had to work because they're true friends.
Well,
like that.
Yeah, because other people other had to people work, but they
had,
couldn't make
other
it.
Other had to work, but they couldn't make it.
But
so.
Joe did.
But Joe,
he's a real man.
Yeah.
All right, let's get. That's not fair. That wasn't very nice. But he is. Let's get Joe in here. Abe's a real man too. Every Thursday, talking Falcons with Joe at this time. Joe, how are you?
What up, JP?
I'm good, guys. Yeah, that's just the true friend I am. I you know, made the extra effort. I even brought a gift for Randy in the Arthur Blank souvenir cup. Yeah. When I come to a party, you know, it's just the gifts are flying, you know, the party, the mood elevates. I think that I think everybody was a lot happier when they saw me walking up there. So, no, but happy birthday, Andy.
Well, then the party totally fell apart when you left.
Yes.
Like, it would just kind of sucked. Yeah.
As it tends to do, you know. I had to work.
I do appreciate you being able to come, though. And thank you for the very nice Atlanta United scarf. Very, very cool.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
As it gets colder, that'll come in handy. Let me ask you this, because obviously we've dissected everything from Sunday, the final couple drives, the final couple plays, and all of that sort of thing. Let me just ask you a big picture. If you could fix one thing right now with the Falcons that you think would have a cascading effect and help fix a lot of other things, what's the biggest thing they need to clean up right now?
I mean, it's kind of obvious to me, but it's and it's kind of broad, but it's just this third down offense. Mm-hmm. It's just not working. They're 2-for-9 in each of their three games so far this year. And what that does is it just leads to shortened drives that puts a lot more stress on the defense. It leaves them out there, you know, longer than when the defense is out there longer, they're going to be less capable of, you know, getting off the field. And so it just kind of plays into that whole complimentary football thing. It's been great to watch this team have some long sustained drives that have gone down the field. And they have had a few of those so far this season, obviously at the end of the Philadelphia game on Monday Night Football, at the beginning of the Chiefs game on Sunday Night Football. That was also a good one. They had a nice, you know, long drive that didn't end up scoring at the end of that game too. But what's interesting is like a lot of those drives, they haven't even had third downs. They've actually been one of the more efficient teams in the NFL, especially per drop back on first and second downs, which is a good sign. But, you know, they need to be able to string some of these together. And I think that ultimately when you boil it down, when you look at some of these third downs, a lot of it comes down to the running game hasn't been efficient enough in certain respects on some of those early downs that's led them with some tougher third downs to convert. On the, you know, as opposed to this defense where they've not been able to get off the field at times, they're oftentimes having to try to stop teams who have third and twos, third and threes, and that's just really hard to do. Statistically, percentage-wise, you're just not going to stop teams that often, and this offense just doesn't find themselves in their own situations like that where they have more easy conversions.
Joe, is Kurt, in your opinion, is he getting better?
Yeah, I think he is. I think he's getting more comfortable. I think that, you know, when you look at the offense schematically and the way that they tried to do the thing, do that weird offense that they were running that first week, I think that was probably around I think it had to do with the ankle and the Achilles. By the way, Kirk always calls it his ankle, okay. But obviously the Achilles injury.
Okay. Thank you, Joe.
Yeah, what's that about? Randy brought that up earlier.
Why won't
he call it an Achilles?
I don't know. Maybe he doesn't want to say the word. Okay. Maybe something superstitious. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe there's something like, there's something nefarious at the bottom of it. I don't know. We'll have to get to the bottom of that. But, I do think that, like, the reason why they went with that kind of offense was probably because he was limited, like, at points during his time with the team from when he signed. So when he initially signed, they were trying to design some things for him to run certain ways, and it just didn't work, but they have progressed from there. They've been running more under center stuff. I think when you look at, you know, where this team was, they had the fifth or sixth best drop back passing game in the NFL in week 3, which I think is obviously a huge improvement from where you were in week 1. the flip side of that coin was they had like one of the fifth or sixth worst rushing offenses in week three, which kind of held them back again on some of those third downs. But I do think they're getting better. And again, Kirk said this yesterday. It's just the more time on task he gets with these guys, I think the better they're going to be. And really, like, you can get reps in training camps and practices and things, but it's really those in-game reps when the stress is on, you know, you're under the gosh of the play clock and all that stuff. You know, that's when you really understand who your teammates are, what they're capable of in certain situations. And I think the more reps they get out, they have to get out there and go do that kind of thing, the better they're going to get over the course of the season.
The number is three, and the number is the number. That's how many sacks the Falcons have through 3 weeks. And that's not good. That's second worst in the NFL. Is there more to it than simply saying same old Falcons pass rush? Is there more to it than that, or is this just a group that isn't going to be all that good at getting to the quarterback?
I have to think that this is a little bit skewed, maybe not even a little bit, maybe a lot skewed by the offenses that they have faced in these first 3 weeks, in that the quarterbacks specifically are just not guys that you want to kind of pin your ears back and go full tilt at, because they will punish you with their legs. When you think about Justin Fields in week one, Jalen Hurts in week two, and then obviously Patrick Mahomes in week three, I'd be interested to see where a lot of other teams are in their kind of pass rush numbers going against those quarterbacks. I think because schematically, the way the defensive coordinators are thinking about it is that you just don't want to overextend yourself to the line of scrimmage, and you would rather take your chances against those quarterbacks by dropping guys into coverage. And we saw that even like in the Eagles game, it was a little bit ridiculous at times, like how much time Jalen Hurts had to just kind of sit back there and then roll out, buy some more time, and continue to try to find somebody. And honestly, you got to tip your hat to the secondary that's played great, because oftentimes he didn't have obvious open guys despite having all that time. But I got to think that just the numbers, when you look at what the Falcons are doing from a pass rush, you know, win rate perspective and all those kind of statistics compared to the rest of the league, they are way off from pretty much everybody. And so I'm kind of hoping that that's the case, you know, just for the, you know, for the sake of this defense. And, you know, you did add a legitimate pass rusher, Matthew Judon. So, you know, I think there's more they can do with him than what they've shown so far. But again, I think that one of the reasons why they're not sending him on crazy stunts and things like that is because they want to just maintain their proper rush lanes and not let these quarterbacks kind of out of the pocket and extend plays.
JP, any updates? It doesn't look like Dalma's going to go, but anything about as far as that right tackle?
Pretty clean, you know, injury-wise for the Falcons this week. I would be shocked if Caleb McGarry plays. I mean, the way that the Falcons have kind of messaged with the team is like, you know, when you talk about, like, Kirk talking about, like, it's been great to get a week's of work with Storm and Ryan Neuzel at center. So he's kind of like talking as if Storm is going to be the guy that plays. And to me, like a sprained MCL, if that is the injury that Caleb McGarry has, which has been reported, you know, that's not like one that I think that you just come back from if it knocks you out of a game completely and you're ruled out one on a Sunday night that you're ready to then play the next Sunday for a regular season game. I think that the team, you know, can take their time here. There's not a huge rush. It's not like it's a huge change in the kind of quality that you're getting at the right tackle. I think that, I mean, it's obvious that Caleb McGarry gives you more in the run game, but honestly, Storm Norton might be even a slightly better pass blocker than even McGarry is. So I don't think they're going to necessarily rush him. I just don't think he's going to play this week, even though he's considered day-to-day. I think that even next Thursday is the better kind of timeline of when he might come back, and they might even just want to hold him off there so then he gets that kind of mini bye week and come back after that. But other than that, it's a clean slate of injuries for the Falcons, and it's not that way for the Saints, guys. And it's worth keeping monitoring this over the course of the week, but Alvin Kamara did not practice for them yesterday. Demario Davis did not practice for them yesterday. Their guard, Cesar Ruiz, did not practice for them yesterday. Also, their center, Eric McCoy, was also placed on IR. So both these teams will be playing with backup centers. Even Derek Carr was on the injury report yesterday with a left groin, even though he was a full participant. So they've just got a lot of stuff they're dealing with on the other side. And I think that if you're looking at one or the other, I think you'd rather be the Falcons in terms of the injury situation between the two teams.
How do you think they attack this defense? Because, I mean, I know Davis and all those guys aren't practicing. That's not necessarily means they won't play. But how do you think the Falcons should attack this defense? Because, I mean, it's really, really good. A lot of people don't think of it because they want to look at what the offense has done early on.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the defense has been, you know, quietly impressive, and you're right. It's kind of been overlooked because of all the success that this Clint Kubiak-led offense, and especially when you get that young new coordinator that really kind of gets the eye of a lot of the media and the film people who like to break these things down. But yeah, this defense has been really impressive. And, you know, for me, like, listen, if I really knew the answer to this question, I would be getting paid a lot more and maybe not doing this job. But I would have to think, just like thinking back to the last year's games, like, you've got to establish yourself on the ground. And just in general for the Falcons team, it's like when they've been at their best, when they've looked the most dangerous, it's been when they really have Bijan going. And I feel like fans can understand this. And Bijan was asked about this yesterday, and he agreed with this, that when the Falcons running game gets going, especially with that outside zone, like, you really feel the defense kind of like becoming unbalanced and trying to like find solutions and just kind of feeling a little bit overwhelmed by this rushing attack that Atlanta can bring, not just with Bijan, but then, you know, the second, you know, you run Bijan a few plays in a row, then you can bring in Tyler Algier, who can hurt you in a different kind of way. So I think for the Falcons, you've got to get that ground game going. They did a pretty good job of against the Chiefs, considering they didn't really have that. They were averaging less than 2 yards per carry in that game. But that's an unsustainable way to play, and ultimately it's why they only scored 17 points and why they couldn't convert on some of those key moments on fourth downs toward the end of the game there, especially on the when they had the third and fourth and one. And I would say, especially in those very short yardage, like third and fourth downs, you think back to that Eagles game, they also got stuffed on a fourth and one that we thought, I think, kind of took the game out of their hands at that point. So they've got to be better, especially in some of those easily convertible short yardage third and fourth downs. Like we were talking about earlier, where this team needs to find themselves in more of those short yardage third downs. You also need to be able to convert them a little bit more easily. And I think it's frustrating for a lot of fans to see teams like the Eagles, who can, you know, come up with something like the tush push that just works very regularly and routinely for them in those situations. And it feels like the Falcons have not quite figured that out yet for themselves. And Kirk Cousins said something kind of leading into the season about, you know, team's identity and how you kind of go about that and what that ultimately ends up being. And he kind of described it as, when you have a third and three, what are you running? And what do you feel so confident in running that the other team can know that you're running it and it doesn't even matter? And you're going to, like, everybody has faith that you're going to get it anyway. I think that's kind of where we are with this Falcons offense, where they're doing some things really well, but I don't think that they've really found like those core centerpiece things that they can really rely on in some of those moments that ultimately often prove so important in the NFL game, which is obviously, you know, field of parity.
Let us hope they find a lot of it on Sunday afternoon.
Tyler Algier ain't going to be lead blocking them, where is he?
I would think not, because, you know, Raheem said, he was like, there's been a lot of, kind of bluster about that play call, and he was like, listen, that play could go for a touchdown if he blocked Nick Bolton, and nobody blocked Nick Bolton. So, they got to figure out how to, set themselves up in positions to succeed there.
Joe, we appreciate it. Thank you.
Appreciate it, JP.
All right, thanks, guys.
Smoking Joe Patrick there, 92.9 The Game, Atlanta Falcons beat reporter. Follow him on Twitter at JAPatrick200. We'll come back and get to an AMA. Any question, any topic, the phone lines are open, 404-726-0929. Anything you want to ask us? Call us up and ask us next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Brought to you by Right From The Heart and rightfromtheheart.org. The AMA. Every single day to wrap the show up. Randy's on to something here,
I'm just curious. That's it. I'm just curious.
Saturday's 48 hours away.
Yeah, technically Saturday is the start of week 4 in college football.
Yeah.
Like, how
some teams play Friday, but
yeah. Right. But yeah, you walk up into the coach like, hey, let me get 100 G's. You see what everybody else doing?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just gonna red shirt.
What's that collective talking about? Like this week,
dude. That'd be so crazy.
I'm just thinking about, like, obviously everybody's talking about the kid at UNLV, yes, and that story and all that, and who knows really what the truth is, but I don't know. Say you're looking at, like, what were we talking about?
Mizzou.
Yeah.
Wazoo's quarterback.
John Mateer. John Mateer is off to a great start. They're 4-0. They got Boise State coming up. That's a big game for them on Saturday night. He walks into their coach's office on Friday, and he's like, yeah, that truck you guys got me is nice, but we're going to need a little bit more if we're playing against Boise State on Saturday night.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if there's more guys that do this. Is it called opting out, redshirting?
It's just interesting.
What was the word that we use about this that we heard they go in there and
shakedown.
It's a shakedown. Oh. It's a word for it too. Extortion.
Extortion.
Yeah, extorting them.
Yeah.
A little more. Yeah. It's extortion week in
That's
college
exactly
football.
What it is.
All right, Zach's in Gwinnett.
That's exactly what it is.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hi, Zach.
So, I'm firmly in Randy's camp about no clothes on dogs.
I'm
no, thank you.
Man,
no way.
I'm sorry.
Actually, I broke up with a girl in college because she put clothes on her dogs.
Wow.
Yeah. So, weird.
So my question is, what's the pettiest thing that you've ever broken up with somebody for? And also, Andy, is today the official start of soup season?
Oh, good question. Yeah, I think so.
What?
I think it is. It's pretty gloomy outside.
The most petty thing.
Pettiest thing you've broken up with someone for?
It's not even being petty. It's my brother them fault, man. Because no, it's not their fault. I was in college. I was like, I didn't want no girlfriend.
Yeah.
You know, never anything like that. And so I said, I asked him, I said, how can I do it without, you know, being a jerk and stuff? And so I kind of made up a rumor that she cheated on me.
Oh.
And yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Smear campaign,
yeah.
Huh?
But, yeah. It wasn't no smear. Because they didn't, I mean, Fort Valley is a small town. But yeah, it wasn't. It was just like I was in college, and I was like, you know, I don't want to be one. You know, I can't do this. I didn't want to do that.
You ever give them the "it's not you, it's me"?
All the time.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, all the time.
It's hard. Like you walk into it and you have a plan, and then all of a sudden it just doesn't go the way you thought it was gonna, and then you start leaning on cliches.
Yeah,
you're like a hot seat coach getting peppered by the media.
Yeah.
You say, there's so many better people out there. You're going to be fine. It's not you. Dang it.
I just
said the thing you're not supposed to say. It's not you. It's me. Oh, no.
Yeah.
I broke up with a girl one time because a girl moved home. I didn't expect her to move home. She moved home.
Right.
I was like, well, I'm going to hang out with her.
Yeah. Wow. That's worse than me.
Is it?
Yeah.
I didn't lie about it. I told her. I said straight up, like, look.
It could have, but
I didn't think she was coming back.
It could have happened. Like I said, I wasn't laughing. It could have happened.
Yeah, it's possible.
Yeah.
It's possible. Adam is in Watkinsville. Hey, Adam.
What's up, y'all?
Hi, Adam.
Man, Smokin' Joe. I love my dog, but he just went out the window like an old Newport, you know.
How come? What did he do?
He's talking about the Falcons getting acquainted to each other. You know when they should have got acquainted to each other?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, unfortunately, they don't do that. So why?
They don't ask Joe's opinion on it.
And I don't know why everybody's still crying about it. They don't do it. They're not going to do it.
I ain't crying about nothing.
Yeah.
They're not going to do it. If I was going to cry about the Falcons, I would have ran out of tissues 30, 40 years ago. Why not? Hey, Randy, I know you talk trash about San Diego, and thankfully I'm only a window shopper these days, but I'm going to San Diego next week. Where's the spot, man?
Did you say I talk crap about San Diego? When the hell have I ever talked crap about San Diego?
Man, you've said 50 times you got to go hunt them in San Diego.
Oh, well, but
you did say it's slim pickings with the ladies.
Oh, yeah, slim pickings, but I'm married, so it don't matter. So, yeah, it don't matter.
I think Adam is too.
Yeah, you got to go find them. You got to go. San Diego's freaking awesome. Now, other than there's still pickings out there, but okay, appreciate it, man. I will go to La Jolla. That's if you want to go, if you go with your late ticket later to La Jolla, definitely go down to the gas lamp. Stay the hell away from Tijuana. All right, stay the hell away from Tijuana.
Yeah.
But yeah, go to La Jolla, gas lamp. That's all you need.
That sounds like good advice.
Yeah, that's all you need.
James is in College Park. Hey, James.
Hey, what's going on? I got two quick questions.
Sure.
The first one is, do Atlanta as a city, do we get the sweep this weekend with the with Georgia beat Alabama, the Falcons beat the Saints, and I guess the Braves ain't got to sweep the Mets on Monday, but I guess win the series. And my second question is, will you guys be in the office tomorrow?
We'll be here.
Yeah, we'll be here.
I mean, Lord willing.
Yeah, my kid, they asked me, say, Daddy, do you have to go to work tomorrow? Well, yeah. I got to go work tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're staying in a hotel in Midtown because my wife's job put everybody up just so they could make sure they could get there.
Yeah,
so they could report on the shrimps.
That's awesome.
We'll see. We'll see if it's nice.
Kids in a hotel room.
All four of us in, I don't know how big the room is, and a dog all in one room. We'll see.
We'll see. I
like my house.
That guy got to bed early. Huh?
But yeah, so it'll be an experience.
Yeah.
Will the state sweep the weekend?
Did he say state or city of Atlanta? Because we know how people get sensitive. Because, yes, we know.
We'll just say
Georgia is not in Atlanta. Yes, we know.
Power rank them in terms of your confidence.
As far as win?
Yeah.
Georgia Falcons race. No, I'm sorry. Georgia Braves Falcons.
Yeah, I'm Georgia Braves Falcons.
Yeah, Georgia Braves Falcons.
I really hope the Falcons beat the Saints.
Though. I do too.
I really do. Really, really do. All right, Rock is on the south side. Hey, Rock.
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Good.
Hey, Rock.
Pretty gloomy out here today.
Yes.
So I want to know, what's the most fun thing you've done in inclement weather when it's gloomy outside, indoor-outdoor activity? What's the most fun thing you've ever done?
Well, seeing as how 29 of my first 29 years of my life were spent in gloomy weather.
I know.
Everything. I got in the car yesterday about 4:45, and you know it was dark because it was so cloudy and it was raining like that. And I was like, "Oh, this is a memory. This feels similar to many days in my life." I wouldn't say nostalgic because isn't nostalgic positive?
I guess
it's a positive memory.
I guess
it felt like something, but I was like, "Yeah, I've been a lot of traffic and rain in my life. I don't know. In rain, stay inside.
I love staying inside, but in the rain,
Find a partner?
Yeah, I mean, that's all I can say. Something like that. In the rain, not in the rain.
But it doesn't make it better because it's raining. It could be sunny outside.
I don't know, dog. That rain, that...
like a calm.
Yeah, dog.
Almost like a sound machine, but natural.
Yeah, dog.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, man.
But so that's the thing, right?
That's
the answer.
Definitely.
Your favorite thing you did inside while it was raining?
No, outside.
Outside?
Yeah.
Oh, getting it in the rain.
Yeah, man.
Wow, good for you. Dude, that sounds very romantic.
It is.
All right, Bryson is in Atlanta. Hey, Bryson.
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
Hi, Bryson.
What's up, man?
Hey, I just want to say go Dogs and go Dirty Birds. I was watching a YouTube wrestling podcast yesterday, and they was talking about funny wrestling signs fans had. And one of the signs that was pretty funny that I kind of laughed at it. Says Goldberg eats corn the long way. I kind of pretty laughed at that. So my question for you, Randy, is your time in the NFL. What funny signs did you see?
Oh my goodness!
I don't know if it was a sign you read me earlier, but you read me a very funny thing about Kalen DeBoer. Kalen DeBoer, smokes his brisket in the oven or something?
No. Because Kalen DeBoer smokes a brisket on a gas grill.
On a gas grill.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
That is great.
That's good trash talk.
Yeah, I never paid attention to the signs in the stands or anything like that. I've just never paid attention. I'm sure there were some.
There'll be some good ones on Saturday.
Oh, yeah. In Tuscaloosa?
Yeah.
It's going to be some riots, right?
Do we have time for one more? Kind of? Okay. Andrew does tend to have long questions, but Andrew's in Buckhead. We'll make it quick.
I'll try to keep it quick.
No,
I'll say to put clothes on your, like, to have a girl that puts clothes on their dog and you break up with them. I mean, there's another situation. It could be a cat issue, and no pun intended, all puns intended, actually, with that one.
Okay.
but what I will say is, so quick question for Randy, or two questions, sorry. The question is, I've been following a lot of football, and what's the etiquette to give the ball back to the referee? Like, what's that like? Like, is there a specific etiquette that you guys have to that?
No.
And then secondly, is there a referee when you played that you were like, oh, I know what time it is. Like, it's going to be tough today.
Yeah. Okay. No, there is no, etiquette. And I always forget his brother's name, but he was a referee, a back judge when I played at Georgia, and I used to give him hell. And his ass came to the NFL, and I remember when he was in, it was like one of my first games. And I looked back and I saw him, he said, Don't start that dish. All right. he said we both graduated to the next level. Don't start that message you did at Georgia. I'll never forget that. Every time he would be in one of our games, he would come up to say something every single time. But I remember him.
Did you give him hell in the NFL too?
Oh yeah. But in Georgia, I went after him. It was one game.
Was it just really bad?
Yeah, it was bad. It was bad. But yeah.
All right. Let's get the takeaways of the day.
As our show heads into the final stretch, it's time for the takeaway of the day.
So many achievements.
On Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Takeaways of the day, every rep is
Joe's a real man.
So's Abe.
And koala bears are nasty.
Nasty.
Damn freaks.
Infected. Randy holds tight to three things: his money, his woman, and his job.
A very educational show today. So apparently old folks' homes are running rampant with STDs.
Yeah.
And some koala from Arkansas gave one to us in Australia the clap.
Yeah, man. He was in the zoo. He was in the Arkansas Zoo. They took him there and sent him out there, man.
Where did he get it?
From somebody nasty in Arkansas.
Okay.
Yeah,
koala's the grossest bear by far.
Yes.
And old folks' homes can be quite true.
Yeah. I'm just going by what I've been told. Okay?
This is a funny radio show.
I just told you what I've been told.
You guys are funny. All right, we'll come back. We'll see what Dukes and Bell have for you next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.